Last week we talked about truth and how truth is your best friend. Dishonesty, likewise, is your worst enemy. I want to start this morning's lesson with a brief video. You may remember seeing this a few years back. It's been about 12 years, but if you guys will show that video. You're probably going, what in the world was that all about? How many of you remember that back in 2013, a meteorite hit Russia? And it did a lot of damage. Fortunately, it fell out in a more rural area, but about 1,000 people were injured by that meteorite coming down to the ground. And by the way, if you have a question about meteors and meteorites, which is which, a meteorite comes right on down to the ground. A meteor will burn up in the atmosphere. When this happened, I saw a video on YouTube like this one. Might have been this one. I don't remember exactly. And then I saw another one. And then I saw another one. And then I saw another one. I thought, wow, how are all these people in Russia getting video of this? Well, turns out almost everyone in Russia who has a car also has a dash cam. And I wonder, why do they all have dash cams? What does a dash cam do? A dash cam tells you the truth about what happened. If you have a dash cam in your car, it's probably because you're thinking, if I am ever in an accident, I'll need something to show what I was doing at the time of that accident. See, the problem in Russia was, and probably still is, and I know we don't have this problem here, but a lot of people are dishonest. They tell lies. They misrepresent the truth. They misrepresent themselves. And so to protect yourself in Russia, people have dash cameras. In case they ever get into some kind of an entanglement in an accident or with the law, they have a camera that says, this shows what I was doing. And that's how that meteorite came to have so many videos, because people are dishonest in Russia. If you've ever wanted to know if there's a benefit to people being dishonest, I guess that's it. Be a lot of stuff on camera. But do you really like the fact that there's cameras everywhere? That we need to have cameras everywhere? Because people do wrong things. By the way, watch out for those kiss cams. I know it's like a joke, isn't it? But we all know the reality of that. At any moment in our lives, God could be putting the camera on us. And what would happen? What would be seen? What could the public eye see if you and I happened to be pictured at the wrong moment? Or if our conversation was recorded at the wrong moment? It makes us all wonder, how should we behave in light of those things? In Exodus chapter 20, Israel is come out of Egypt. And Moses went up on Mount Sinai and got the law from God. And you know what's in the law. There's a lot of things in the law, various ordinances, laws, commandments. But there were 10 that were special. And this was the basis of all the rest. Two of those commands are, and I bet you can imagine which one is most relevant to this lesson. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's down in verse 16. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. Do not misrepresent what has actually happened. Do not tell things that are not the truth. Do not deceive. Do not manipulate facts, trying to get a better situation for yourself or to hurt anybody else. Do not lie. Now, similar to that, it's not quite as obvious, but you look up in verse 7. It says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." What does that have to do with telling a lie or being false? Jesus gives us a window to that in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about taking oaths. He said, "Do not swear at all by heaven, because it is God's throne. Do not swear by the earth, because it's his footstool. And you can't even swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black." Amen. However, you can buy dye. But think about, what does dye do? Dye doesn't really change what your hair actually is. It only colors it over. You know the truth about your own hair even. And he says you don't have the power to even change that. So Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. This was an injunction against making a vow that you would fail to fulfill. It's a false vow. You said you were going to do this and then you failed to do it. That's the same as a lie. And I believe that's why God included it. And he didn't want his name to be associated with people who did not follow through on the things they promised or the things they committed to. So just a little bit of an introduction into this idea of falsehoods and God's view of them. But if you go to Proverbs chapter 6, this is what we read in Proverbs 6. There's no lack of scriptural instruction regarding truth, and telling the truth, and warnings against lying. But it's particularly interesting to see what the Holy Spirit inspired Solomon to put down here in Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. He says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers." I used to read this list and think, wow, God put lying in there twice, didn't he? He put a lying tongue in verse 17, and then he put a false witness in verse 19. But if you think about each one of these behaviors, they are all seven based in a lie. Take a look at the first one. Haughty eyes. Why would you be arrogant? Because you have lied to yourself about who and what you are. You've believed that lie, and now you think you have the right to be haughty and arrogant. It's all based in a lie. There is no reason for any human being to be haughty and arrogant. And then the second one, a lying tongue, obvious. But hands that shed innocent blood. Why would anyone think they have a right to shed innocent blood? Because they have told themselves some kind of a lie or listened to some kind of a lie that gave them the sense that they had the right to hurt someone else. One of the biggest abominations in our particular country and culture is the practice of aborting babies. There are many lies told about those little babies. Are they little babies or are they a clump of cells? Which one is the lie? And I don't know of any more innocent blood than that of little babies. The next one in line, a heart that devises wicked plans. Well, how can any wicked plan have anything to do with truth? Any wicked plan is going to be based on some kind of a lie. It has to be by its own nature. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Why would you run rapidly to evil unless you have convinced yourself by the lie that there is some good for you to be had in that evil? There is some pleasure that will get you benefit. See, there's a lie in every single one of these things. And then when you get down to the last one who spreads strife among brothers, why would we not think that that strife has at its heart a lie? Now, sometimes you might tell the truth, but you may tell the truth with the lie in your heart that says, it's good for me to tell this truth, when actually, you know, there are some things that ought to just be covered over and kept to oneself. You don't have to tell everything you know. But this is another way of these things, all being based on falsehoods, all being based on lies. In John chapter 8, this passage that John read, or Nick read for us, very thoughtful reading, I thought. Jesus talked about Satan being the father of lies. He says in verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." You see there again the relationship between murder, doing other people harm, and lying. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. In the very beginning, through a lie, Satan brought death into the world. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he accomplished his murder through the lie. It says in verse 44 also, "Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature." He's talking his own native tongue, "for he is a liar and the father of lies." And Jesus is telling these guys, you are his offspring. You are of your father, the devil. He is the Son of God. He's come as the Son of God. He's announced himself and he's done all kinds of signs to show that he's the Son of God, and yet they refuse to believe. It's an active decision not to believe in Jesus. And that's what they've done, because they have told themselves the lie that he is not the one. "Because I speak truth," Jesus says, "you do not believe me." And that's what you and I will find in this world when we take the gospel to the lost. There will be a lot of people who will accuse us of pushing things on them or believing in the flying spaghetti God of the sky or whatever it might be. There are any number of lies. People will say, "Oh, that Bible, it's been rewritten so many times." And if anybody ever says that, by the way, please understand they have no clue, or at least they're denying what they know, but they have no clue how the scriptures have been handed down to us through the ages. It has not been rewritten several times by men. Anyway, this is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 8. The fact that we're going to be the children of either God or of Satan. And one of the things that shows us who and where we are is our love for the truth and our despite of dishonesty. How many passwords do you have? Don't you get sick of passwords? Why do you have to have a password? Because there's some goober out there who's a liar and a thief who will do you harm if he can get into your stuff online. And I am so sick of passwords. I'm trying to get into stuff I've been in for a long time. Oh, you got to give us your email. And I give that email. Oh, this email's already in use. I know it's already in use. I'm using it. You got to have a new password. We'll send it to you on your email. What do you mean? I just told you, give you that email. It's so frustrating. I know I'm old and I don't get a lot of this stuff. But what's at the heart of it? What's at the heart of it is dishonest people. Dishonesty. I wish there was a camera on me and I could say, "Hey, you see this? This is my face. This is me. Go ahead and let me in to this thing I've been trying to do and been doing for years, and now you're closing me out because you say I don't have the right password." But wait a minute. The face I'm showing them on that camera could be AI. What's AI? That's artificial intelligence. That's computer-generated stuff. Have you seen some of these videos where it looks like it's a real person, and it's not a real person? And it's not just AI. Sometimes they'll take the actual video of somebody who is the real person. I remember seeing a very popular rock and roll musician who's also, well, it's Ted Nugent. You guys know who Ted Nugent is? He's a hunting guy. He likes to hunt. And they had him on this video saying, "Hey, send us your information. We've got 10,000 of these special crossbows we're going to send out to people for free. Just give us your information." And I started watching that video. And what was coming across on the sound sounded like Ted Nugent's voice, but the lips weren't matching up. And I thought, wait a minute, this is bogus. Have you seen anything like, there's a lot of bogus stuff out there. They just wanted my information, my address and phone number and email and social security number. So, well, I'm not watching any more of those stupid videos. Let me get on my email account and see what I got here. Oh man, there's this Nigerian prince. He wants to give me $6 million. What a deal. How did he find me among all the people of the world? Well, it must be because I'm such a great guy. And all I have to do is send him $600, and he'll make all the arrangements. Not even I am that dumb. I shouldn't say that, because maybe one of you guys have sent him $600. I don't know. And I had no idea that Ukrainian women wanted to date me. I get on Facebook, I don't know if you're on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can friend people. You send them a friend request. You ever get a friend request from somebody that is dead? You talk about disrespectful. Man. People can steal your house. They get enough information on you, they can take out loans in your name, and then you'll be responsible for those loans. They can sign your house over to themselves and come in and take possession. I don't know how this happens without somebody dying, because you just think out there in the world, folks would start shooting other people, but you're never in face-to-face with the people who were doing that stuff to you. It's always somebody else. This is the deceitfulness and the hateful, demonic truth about dishonesty. It's evil, and it permeates so much of our society. Even when you go to the grocery store and you see the label and it says grass-fed beef, what do you think when you see, oh, grass-fed beef? Why is Marty up there preaching about grass-fed beef? Because people are liars. If it doesn't say 100% grass-fed beef, well, then they might have put them out in the yard for 5 minutes and let them eat some grass. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. They might feed that cow on grass until the last few weeks or months, and then they'll put it in a stall and feed it all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't want to go into the meat that you're consuming. Do a little research on this and find out what you're eating. Read labels on your food. You don't think people are liars? Oh, we don't want to eat sugar. Well, then let's don't call it sugar. Let's make all this chemical stuff and we'll call it something else, and people will say, oh, that's got to be good for you because it's approved by the FDA. Don't get me started. Young people especially. Have you ever heard the phrase online predator? There are evil people in this world who are trying to find you and take advantage of you online to convince you that they are somebody that they are not, and to get you to agree to meet with them somewhere or to give them some information about yourself. Do not be deceived. There are so many ways these days that people can lie, and it's as if every new thing that we come up with that might be helpful to humanity is also a new way for liars to lie, and that's exactly what they do. And we live in a world of liars. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get out of this place. I know some people would argue against it. I still think we live in the greatest nation in the world. We've got so much freedom, so much prosperity. Do you know anybody who goes hungry? If you do, let me know. I will feed them. We will feed them. Every single one of you will help me feed them if you know anybody going hungry. You know anybody that doesn't have clothes? You do. Let's help them. We want to do that, do we not? But we're such a prosperous nation, we don't see a whole lot of that. It's out there. But even in this prosperous nation, man, dishonesty makes living difficult in a lot of ways. How about your insurance rates? Has your insurance gone up? Oh, he's talking about money now. No, I'm talking about dishonesty. I'm talking about deceit. If people told the truth and did the right thing, your insurance rates wouldn't have to be what they are right now. I remember years ago, somebody said, why is medicine so expensive? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is malpractice insurance. And I thought, well, I'll just take a look at that. You know, some doctors pay up to $70,000 a year in malpractice insurance. And that's not necessarily a bad doctor. It's because people are so willing to sue. People will sue you for the least little thing. Well, what is a lawsuit that's unvalidated? That's a lie. It's a lie. And there's so many lies in so many ways in our culture. But here's what lies do. I'm talking about lies that other people do, but what about lies that you and I tell sometimes? Oh, we don't do that. We're not like those other people. You ever told a lie that broke somebody's trust in you? You had a good relationship, and all of a sudden, something you told or something you would try to hide was revealed, and that relationship is damaged. It's hard to get that back. And you can't have a relationship without trust. That's what lying does. When we lie, lying is a form of disrespect. If I respect you, if I care about you, I will tell you the truth. If I care more about myself than I do you, I'll tell you a lie. When things get difficult, when it's easier for me to tell a lie than to face you with the truth, I will tell the lie because that protects me. Doesn't help you. Hope you know I'm speaking metaphorically, because of course I've never done that. Yeah, I know. Haven't we all done that? You ever exaggerate the truth? There's the truth. The truth is X, but you put X plus something. That's an exaggeration. You know what an exaggeration is? That's a lie. I caught a fish. He was, okay, just like that. You always like to make yourself look better. We're inclined to do that, to put ourselves in the best light. That's kind of what Lucas was talking about, being hard on himself. He was bragging about how hard he is on himself. Well, I don't think so. Pride. Arrogant pride makes us dishonest. It makes us unwilling to recognize the good in people we dislike. If somebody you just don't like, you don't care for, you just... they do something good, it's going to be hard for you to acknowledge, oh, that was good. But we should openly acknowledge the good in others, even if we don't like them. And if you don't like them, you need to be asking yourself the honest question, what is it about them that I don't like? Even if it's a legitimate reason for not liking them, when they do something that's right, give credit. In your own mind, give credit. Be as merciful and as gracious as God is merciful and gracious. And whatever you do, be honest. Face the truth. Pride makes us unwilling to admit that we were wrong about anything. And that's a lie. When you know you're wrong, now this happens a lot when couples argue. You get in a fight, you get in a fuss, and what are most of our marital fusses about? Big things or little things? I venture to guess, if it's true with you as it is with us, it's always little stuff. But you get in a fuss because somebody's not having a good day, whatever it might be. And once you have argued your side, if you argue your side with pride and your decision that you want to be what's the one that's right, then it's very difficult when you finally see the truth to admit the truth. Pride is our enemy because pride leads us to dishonesty in many cases. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord God Almighty, and we need to humble ourselves before one another and realize it's never about who is right, it's always about what is right. And so when you get in a fuss with somebody, ask yourself, why are we in this fuss? Am I standing up for something that I shouldn't be standing for, or are they? And if they are, Should I lie to myself and tell myself, since I know they're wrong, the most important thing for me is to be vindicated? Or is there something more important than your vindication simply because you're right? Is it more important, perhaps, to help them lovingly and gently see the error of their way? When you're in a fuss and you really think you're right, don't be arrogant. Be humble and try to get the other person to see where they are mistaken. Be gentle always. Be patient always. Be as understanding as you can be, but always stand for whatever is true, whatever is right. Lying can hurt us in a lot of ways, and God hates lying. When you get to the Revelation, the last two chapters of the New Testament, this is what we read about lying. We all probably know Revelation 21:8. You know the song, don't you? If you don't know the song, I'll sing it for you. Get ready. Revelation, Revelation 21:8, 21:8. Liars go to hell, liars go to hell. Burn, 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 burn. There's a reason why that's not in our songbooks. Now that's scripture nonetheless. That's what it says, Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly, isn't that interesting? The cowardly. Why the cowardly? At the very beginning of this list is the cowardly, because it's the coward who says to himself, my safety, my security is more important than standing up for truth. That's the sin of cowardice. It's a lie. It's a lie. The cowardly, the unbelieving. Unbelieving, well, that's those who wouldn't believe the truth. They would rather believe the lie. You just go right on down the list. Abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters. And what's the last one? All liars. Their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then you drop down to verse 27. Talking about God's kingdom. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then again in chapter 22 and verse 15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Three times in the close of this brief writing, God makes sure we understand his view towards lying. Or after all, this is the end of the New Testament. How did the beginning of the book of Genesis start? Chapter 3, the devil tells the lie, and everything that God had created that was very good is now plunged into turmoil. And we're still living in turmoil because of dishonesty. I want to close just by reminding you about two deceivers, two men who decided to tell lies. And I want to end with these because you and I will be one or the other. Peter told a lie. When did he tell his lie? Well, he told that lie when he was under pressure. He was sitting outside while Jesus was being tried. People were questioning Peter. Didn't you know him? And you know what Peter said? Three times he denied knowing Jesus. That was a lie. He knew it was a lie. But he still told it. Why did he do it? Because he was scared. Fear will drive us to the temptation to tell something that's not true. Don't let that fear win. Always stand up with courage for the truth. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and a sound mind. That's the spirit that God's put in us. There was another liar. His name was Judas. You know any children named Judas? I know a lot of men with Peter's name, but I don't know any men named Judas. There may be some, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying there's a reason why that name is not as popular as other names are. Because, of course, Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. He deceived and betrayed even the one who was ready to save his soul. What did Peter do with his lie? Well, he repented. And when he repented, Jesus Christ put him up in the pulpit on Pentecost, and Peter preached that sermon that introduced the gospel to the world. That's what God does with liars who repent. He does great things with them. What did Judas do? Well, he went out and hung himself. Told himself a lie that this was the best thing to do. Apparently that's what he did. So Judas is gone. And it ought to make us shudder to think about Judas's eternity. But what about Peter's eternity? But the question today is not really Judas's eternity or Peter's eternity. The question is mine. What will I do with the truth? What will I do with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? What will I do with the simplicity of his gospel? Putting faith in him. Repenting of my sin. Confessing his name. Let somebody bury me in water where I will meet with Christ himself. Be baptized into his death and rise to walk in newness of life. That's the truth that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 6. Because just like Peter said on Pentecost, that baptism in faith, with faith in Jesus, that's for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. So what will you believe today? What will you accept? What will you practice? We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. If you need to talk to anybody today about coming to Christ, about repenting of sin, about needing prayers, that's why we're here. One of the reasons why we're here. So stand and let's sing together.